Okay, if you join me, let's turn to the book of Romans as we continue on. Romans chapter 12, the practical aspects. Let's stand and we'll be reading verse 15 and 16. Some of the practical things that we need to do in the local church. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. Thank God for every one of you. It's good that you guys are healthy and you guys are here. I pray that our soul and our hearts will also be right with the Lord, okay, as we hear the word of God. Romans chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. Let's read the two verses. Okay, Romans chapter 12, verse 15 and 16. Ready? 1, 2, begin. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of the same mind one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this passage that we are about to read and study and understand. Lord, I pray that you teach us not just how we need to relate to you, but how we need to relate to one another in your love. And I pray, Father, that these are just very clear instructions in your word, and teach us to be obedient, Father, as your children, to listen to how our Heavenly Father instructs us. And because we love you, Father, we will do what you tell us to do. Lord, I pray for one person who have never trusted Christ, once again open their heart to understand the love of Jesus, and also for us as believers to show it out of our lives, Lord, that people may be drawn towards you. So thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. As I teach your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit will fill me. I depend on you, Father, to be your servant, to share. Help hide me behind your cross. Every word I speak, Father, will bring life by your Holy Spirit. We'll thank you, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. I'll just introduce these two verses with 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Okay? You can turn there also if you like, but I thought I'd just start here. The Bible says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. We can never purify our own souls. But the Bible did say that seeing you have purified your souls, how? In obeying the truth. Okay? As we hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, we obey the truth that we are sinners before God. We obey the truth in Jesus Christ that only Jesus Christ can save us. And we need to repent from our sins, put our faith in Christ. We have obeyed the truth. We did that and say, Lord, yes, we know that we're sinners. And we need your grace on us. And we allow you. We want you to be our Savior. Please save us, okay? And we can only do that through the Holy Spirit. So seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, notice the next part, that leads you to what? Unfeigned love, unpretentious love, non-hypocritical love, love that is not feigned, not bluff one, all right? Something that is real. That leads us to the unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Peter, in teaching the Jewish Christians, saying that seeing that you have trusted Christ as your Savior, the trusting of Christ actually leads you to love Christian brethren. Okay? To love Christian brethren. And Peter, he said, so see that. Work at it. Make sure. See that means make sure you love, agape, one another with a pure heart fervently. It is God's will for us in Ambassador Baptist Church as Christians who gather together weekly to serve God together, to give and all that. God says we are to love one another with a pure heart. In other words, when I can love someone, pure heart simply means, you know, pure gold, right? Pure gold means something without impurities. In other words, when I love someone in church, it's not with an agenda. I don't love someone because I can get something from him. I don't help him because I want to get. I love him because it's the pure love that God puts in my heart for that person. And that's what Peter is driving towards. Okay? A clear evidence of the Spirit of God working in our hearts after salvation is a love for the brethren. Now, there's a difference between love for the brethren and being a nice guy. There are many people who are nice guys. Even non-believers are nice people. Amen? There's some of us do have good friends with non-believers, okay? Or people who believe differently from us, okay? But you know, the Bible teaches us that when the Holy Spirit of God works in our heart, We would love the person not just because we want to be nice to that person. We will love the other person because we know he has a relationship with Jesus Christ, and both of us have a blood relationship with one another. Does it make sense? The love to the brethren is different from being a nice guy. Love of the brethren, we have to be kind, we have to be courteous, but you know what? It's a heartfelt love for another Christian. Okay? I have not met, I think I met Pastor John Strader for the very first time last year. I only met him once. But you know what? I can share with him, he can share with me some of his deeper struggles, and we pray for one another. I don't even know him. But you know what? The reason why we can do that is because our relationship is in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's in Jesus Christ, okay? So, it's important for us to understand that. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 10, the Bible teaches us clearly that in this, the children of God are manifest and the children of the devil. Wow. One of the indications here, how do we know we are Christian? The Bible teaches, how do you know you're a child of God or a child of the devil? Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. There are two things. Number one, this is how we differentiate a non-believer from a believer. Number one, when a person doing not righteousness. Now, there's a difference between doing the right thing and doing righteousness. Okay? Sometimes doing the right thing we think is the right thing. The Bible teaches us about doing the righteousness of God, something that is aligned to the Word of God. Something that may be right in your own eyes may not be right with God. And we need to do the righteousness that God gives us in the Word of God. Okay? It may be the right thing when someone scolds you to hit the person back. Okay? Well, Lord say, wow, inkai one, this person you need to hit back. That to you may be the right thing. But you know what God says? Love your enemies. Now that's the righteousness of God. Does that make sense? Many of us think that, we have to look at the situation and we respond. No, we look at the situation and respond with the Word of God. And that's why sometimes if people find it hard when you are able to love your enemies, they find it hard because as a person, when someone hits you, you should hit back, right? No, as a Christian, that's right, as a human being. But when a person offends you or a person is angry with you without a cause, the way we respond is to love our enemies. So the Bible says, firstly, whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. You know, the second thing, neither he that loveth nor his brother. When as a believer in Christ, this is important, when we choose our non-believing friends over our Christian friends, there is something wrong with that relationship. When we prefer non-believing friends or friends who will not walk with God over Christian friends who love God, you know what our heart needs to be? As a believer in Christ, we want to be more with Christians. Okay? That's what John says. That is actually what John says. And so as a pastor, my heart is burdened when a Christian supposedly would rather go on an outing with non-believers than to be with believers who worship God together. It actually indicates, this is what John says. John was attacking a very strong, there was a philosophy at that time that I can be close to God and do what I want. That was the philosophy. All right? And John had to tell them, and say, look, just because you say you're a Christian and you think you can do what you want, no. If you are truly God's, you will do the right thing that God tells you to do, and you will love the people, okay? So this is what we want to talk about today, because that's what Romans chapter 12, 15, and 16 talks about, okay? So we'll look at the verse first. Paul teaches the Roman Christians, or Christians in Rome, that last week we talked about trials and then how to respond to those who persecute us. And then he moves on to how we interact with each other in the local church, okay? And the Bible says, firstly, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. So very simply, the first thing Paul wants us to learn is to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. What does that mean? The word rejoice means to congratulate, to be happy for. In other words, if someone do well, or maybe they did very well in their exams, they achieved something in life, you know what you need to do? You need to congratulate them. Hey, thank God that, and thank God that you were able to do that, you know. Some children will say, I got 10 upon 10 for spelling. You know what we need to do? Don't say, where you primary two, then you know. Or primary three. No, don't say that. rejoice with them at that moment. Be happy for them at that moment. Don't say, next time, then you know, harder and harder, well, you actually dampen it. When a person celebrates something, we need to celebrate. Okay, something we need to practice as much as well. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. Okay, children, how do you feel when you get 20 upon 20 for your exams? See, got smile already. Okay, you know what? You need to rejoice with them. Okay, some of you may do well. We need to rejoice with them. Okay, but then the Bible also says, weep with them that weep. Weep with them that weep. Someone who goes through a difficult time, a trial, and they are crying. We don't say, oh, sayang, then quietly, you know, the person inkai on you. We don't do that. You know what Paul was trying to teach the Roman Christians? Learn to feel what your fellow brethren feels. Learn to feel what your fellow brethren feels. When we have genuine love from God, we will learn to feel what even our fellow brethren, because rejoicing and weeping are things that happen to the heart. Yes? And so sometimes when our person really are very happy, some people say, you're not happy for what? You know, yeah, I so can. Have you heard that before? I so can do it. That's not the point. The point is that Paul was instructing the Roman Christians, learn to get out of the thinking for yourself and put it onto others' joys and others' sorrows. Does that make sense? All of us go through difficult times. And some, it's interesting, I had a friend who said one thing. She's a lecturer at one of the SIM. I don't know where she's lecturing now, but she said this. It's interesting, God will not put two Christians, or rather, God will not put a group of Christians to go through trials at the same time. He will always put some who are going trials together with some who are not going through trials so that we can learn to support one another. Does that make sense? And so when I'm down, someone else is not down. So God knows what we need. But God wants us to learn to get out of our own personal thoughts about ourselves only, but to put our thoughts on others. That will be a deeper level for us as Christians, to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep, okay? The Bible, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 26, you can actually read there. Paul also teaches that to the Corinthian church. He says, whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Okay? I use this illustration all the time, okay? Whereby I will press someone here. Okay? Should I press someone here? Who have a stiff neck right now? Yes, come. Hey, how come I press here, the hand starts to move? Okay, are you okay? Why is it that when I press his neck, his hand will pat me? Because when one member suffer, all suffer with it. Did you know that our body is interrelated? See? I saw just someone touch their hand and move. You know, it is not, I believe it's in God's wisdom to teach that the body is likened, the church is likened to a body. When something happens to one person, it affects the other people. And that's an important truth. Paul actually teaches where the one member suffer. How many of you had a sprain of your ankle before? You have, right? What happens to you? You move slower. You have problem wearing your pants. Okay? You can't play soccer. You climb up the stairs, you have a problem, right? And your hand have to hold to support this, because if you don't hold, you might fall down. Do you realize that all these are integrated in your brain? Okay? And it's interesting, if you learn more and more about the brain and how it works, do you realize why people who are blind are very sensitive with their ears? Because one part affects the other. And if you can't do it, some part actually do more to help this part. And that's what God wants us to learn. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. In 1 Corinthians 12, 25, the purpose, that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. That is the biblical principle whereby all of us who are members of Ambassador, and by God's grace, the people who will join, we need to understand this principle. We're not perfect. And some people need a longer time to learn what it means. But the purpose of God that we have caring for one another is so that there will be no division and that we learn to care for one another with the same type of care. So when Brother Gideon, then someone says, hey, are you okay? And someone else have that, we will run to the person to support and encourage that person. Okay? So that's what we need to learn, to rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Okay? And the Bible teaches us, we are taught here to feel what the other is going through. Because genuine love focuses on what? Others, not ourselves. Agape focuses on others, not ourselves. And this is what Jesus taught us to do, even in the last night before he was betrayed. Jesus said what? This is a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. And what Paul is making, he's breaking into very practical things. When someone is celebrating something and he's achieved something, let's celebrate together with that person. When that person is going through a hard time and weeping, let's cry together with that person. You know, and that's something that we need to learn to do. Okay, so the next point, Paul goes on in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, be of the same mind one toward another. Now, this is an interesting one because I was thinking through, be or let yourself be of the same mind toward another person. Okay? In Psalm 133, verse 1, I'll just quote that to you. The Bible says, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. All right? What's the point that Paul wanted to teach us? Seek to think alike as an assembly. What? This is going to be in a society that celebrates individualism. Everyone, you know, in being individuals. But you know, God doesn't exclude the fact that we are all uniquely created. Every one of us are different. You know, it would not be fun if everyone looked the same. It's not going to be fun if everyone is the same size. Everyone got the same hairstyle, same eyesight. You know, the fact that we're all different shows what? The creativity of God, amen? God is creative. But you know, God, Pastor, I don't want to be so big, I want to be smaller. But Pastor, I don't want to be so tall, I want to be shorter. But Pastor, I want red eyes, I don't want blue, no, not red eyes, sorry. I don't want blue eyes, I want red, brown eyes or whatever. Did you know that God didn't make a mistake? God did not make a mistake. God made you individual. But you know, just because we're individuals, God actually wants to also teach us, because with individuality comes selfishness. With individuality, God doesn't minus the fact that we're all uniquely created and individuals. That's Romans chapter 12 teaches. For we are many members, but one body. So God celebrates the fact that we're all individuals, but God says, hey, Paul actually had to tell the Roman Christians, because they are a proud lot. Because the Romans were the conquerors of those days, and they have, there are two things that the Roman citizens focus on: athletics and music. Do you realize the Romans are actually very disciplined people? Gymnastics and music are two very important things in the Roman society. Okay, it's so controlled. I think it's a Greek society, but influenced Rome. Do you realize even in those cultures, music must be played at a certain tone? Okay, I'm not too sure all that's gone into it, but they control even the music so much because they believe that if a person is good in music, and I'm not talking about the ding 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 ding, the kind of music. Okay, I'm talking about the good classical music. Okay. It reflects a disciplined mind. The Roman people believe in a disciplined mind through music and a disciplined body through gymnastics. These are the two things. And so it develops individuality to a large extent, to the point that everyone becomes very self-centered in the Roman church. When Paul gives this instruction, he teaches not just the Roman church, but to all groups of people, learn as much as you're individual, learn to think alike as part of a whole group. Because if you have the same love for God, what matters to you sometimes may not be so important That's what actually matters to that person. Okay? And hopefully the Holy Spirit will help us to temper that. Because I know sometimes people may think, hey, no, we have to learn to be individuals and all that. In our interaction, Paul is just saying this, in our interaction with each other, instead of insisting on our way, we should endeavor to have a unity of mind. We should endeavor to have a unity of mind. And this is in the context of the unity of the church, the local church. You know, they are saying, you know, for Baptists, we have this reputation. You know, put five Baptists together, you got six opinions. That's why Baptists got a lot of problems with this. We need to just get back to the Bible in terms of, is it okay to have opinions? Yes, it is. But you know, God wants us to learn submission to one another. Okay? In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, I was just studying the Greek words. It's a wonderful thing. 1 Peter 3, 8 says, finally, be all of one mind. Be all of one mind. The word one mind there means be of the same understanding. In other words, work towards trying to understand one another. Okay, that's a hard thing for some, I know, myself included, you know. Be of all one mind, having the same understanding. But notice what Peter puts it under, having compassion one for another, love as brethren. Notice the background, or rather the foundation is love, and then we seek to learn to understand, be of one mind. In other words, by the end of working together, we ought to be working towards one mind and not separate minds, okay? Be pitiful, be courteous. That is what Peter taught the Jewish Christians. This is what Paul taught the Roman Christians. And it is interesting, it crosses because it is the mind of God for God's people to think alike. Okay? In Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 to 4, let's turn there. The Bible says, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies. The first verse refers to what Paul desires with the Philippian Christians. Paul was in prison, by the way, when he wrote this. He says, look, if you really want to encourage me, if you really want to show genuine love towards one another, verse 2, fulfill ye my joy that ye be what? Like-minded. What like-minded in the Greek means same thinking. Be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord. The word one accord means to think in the same way or strive towards thinking in the same way. It actually involves active willingness to think like the other person, of one mind. Okay? Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Okay? Have you ever been in situations whereby, when, hey, let's go to this place. No, let's go to this place. No, I want to go to this place. No, I want to go to this place. And after a while, it's like, oh, yeah, I'm just eating on here. Let's go. You know? And some people say, sorry, I don't like that. Well, you go yourself. I go myself. I go my way. You know, as a believer in Christ, I know I need to be sensitive about this because there are situations where, but I like to eat this, I like to eat that. Okay, never mind, you go yourself. Like, okay, bye-bye. As Christians, we can actually not accommodate one another. Okay? Well, this is going to be very stressful afterwards already. Everyone will say, okay, Pastor say we have to all eat at this place. No, I didn't say that. I'm just saying that in times when we discuss things, we need to be open-hearted and say, okay, I mean, if that's what you think, I think it's we try to accommodate to the other person. That's what Paul is trying to teach us. Because you know why? It does encourage us to be humble. Because if we have love for one another, sometimes our opinions may not be so important as in maintaining the love that God wants us to maintain. In verse number 3 in Philippians chapter 2, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. The goal is the unity of mind and spirit in the love of God. Don't accommodate people by saying, okay, Lord, you want to do that, never mind. Okay, bye-bye, it's okay, you go ahead. Never mind, it's okay, go. And you can sense that the person is actually separating from you. That's not the will of God. We actually, when Paul teaches this, he's just teaching us to, right, it's okay, let's have this rather than this. That's fine, it's okay, and your heart is still loving that person. Does that make sense? This is what Paul is trying to do. Seek to think alike as an assembly. The next thing that Paul teaches us, other verse, okay, mind not high things, in verse 16, but condescend to men of lower estate. What does it mean? Don't be concerned about moving up in this world, but be willing to fellowship with people who are of lower estate. The Bible talks about mind not high things. In other words, don't always look at how am I going to climb the social ladder, financially, how am I supposed to be, my career. Don't be preoccupied with the so-called high things, the things that this world value. The things that this world value. But Paul actually teaches the Roman Christian condescend. What's the meaning of condescend? You may be at a certain level, but be willing to come down to brethren who may not be as fortunate as you, who may not be as rich as you, who may not be as privileged as you. It's not talking about those immoral or wrong people, okay? It's talking about people whose social status, they may not be as rich as us. They may not have much, you know? But we must be willing to sit with them. We must be willing to fellowship with them. And we mustn't have this thinking that, this is exactly how the Pharisees treated those people who are very poor. Okay? Do you know the Pharisees in the Bible actually took advantage of widows? They actually took advantage of these people. And Paul is telling them, don't do that. Don't do that. Okay? In Jeremiah chapter 45, verse 5, the Bible says, and seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not. For behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Jeremiah admonishes the people, are you going to seek great things for yourself? Seek them not. Seek them not. And by the way, the Bible says this about the things of this world. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For the things of the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but of the world. And the Bible actually says, the things of this world fadeth away, but whoso doeth the will of God endureth forever. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 to 17. You know why God tells us not to focus on the things of this world, to climb the social ladder? You know, when a person wants to climb the social ladder, they only want to rub elbows or shoulders with those people who are on the higher up. Paul says, don't do that. In the love of Christ, remember those who may not be as privileged or who may be of the lower classes. That's why Paul says, condescend to them who are of low estate. A few days ago, as I was preparing this message, actually I was thinking of coming in here with a torn pair of jeans and smelly clothing, and I want to hug someone, people push me away. And I wonder how we will respond. Is really a beggar actually comes in, you know, just broken and spit everywhere and smelly. If it's a guy, you know what should we do? Guys, we need to rise up to the occasion and spare the ladies. We need to be taking care of these people. Are we willing to sit down and say, Uncle, you eat already? Uncle, wow, do you need whatever to help this person? Are we willing to do that? Or will we say, hey, sorry, I got no time. You'll handle it. Or, thanks, Nana. I'll give you some. And our attitude is such that we don't care for that person. I hope we will not reach that stage. Do you know that many of us as Christians, we are very privileged? How many of you have a fridge at home? I think all of us have a fridge at home, right? You know, there was one particular guy I know many, many years ago when this particular friend was talking to him. He said, oh, I'm very, very poor. Then this guy I know, he is very straight. I mean, he just asks simple questions. Ask you, do you have a fridge at home? Say, yeah. Do you have a fan at home? Say, yeah. Do you have a house to live? Yeah. Then you're not poor. You want to really look at poor people, they have nothing except the plastic bag that they carry, maybe. You know how privileged we are? But God says we need to, in the love of Christ, you see, our Lord Jesus Christ would even stoop as low, when that stoop as low, he would even humble himself to even wash the leg of his own disciples. And therefore, as Christians, we need to learn that yes, we may have a certain status, but you know, our hearts mustn't be after the status of this world. But our hearts must be in love, willing to help people who may be poorer than us. Okay? And that's what the Lord wants us to learn. In Luke chapter 12, verse 15, take heed. Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. And the last point, in Romans chapter 12, verse 16, be not wise in your own conceits. What does it mean? Don't be wise in your own conceits. The word own conceits means in your own thinking. Basically, in point number 4, do not think of yourself as wise and you do not need counsel. In your own conceits has the idea of whatever I have to think about is good enough. I don't need anyone else to give me any inputs. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7, the Bible actually says, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. You know, in this, there is no one so small that God cannot use. But sometimes there are some that feel themselves too big that God will not use. You know, God is trying to tell us in this verse, in verse 16, be humble. Think of the other person first. Watch out for the people who may be poorer. Always being willing to reach out to them. And don't be wise in your own conceits. Don't think that we know everything. Actually, we don't. The reason why God puts us in the church is so that we can work together. You know, over the years as a pastor, I've been thinking about why the church and how things. I realized that, you know why God put many imperfect, individualistic people together? Think about that. Why did God put a lot of imperfect, very self-centered, individualistic people together? So that we can learn to work together. So that we can humble ourselves. So that we can begin to practice many of the things that Jesus taught his disciples. Proverbs 26, verse 12. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceits? Solomon said there's more hope of a fool than for him. if we think that we don't need anyone to teach us, Solomon says, there is more hope for a fool than us. Oh God, have to humble us so much. Some of us, for me as pastor, I need to watch that. I may know a lot, but there's always something I don't know. Yes? And you may know a lot, but there's always something that you don't know. And for us, we need to be able to be humble enough to say, hey, I'm not right all the time. I'm not right all the time. And you know, really in life, there's no need to be right all the time. God needs to be right all the time, yes. But, you know, sometimes in the love for someone else. Have you heard this before? Don't aim to win the battle and then lose the war. In an argument, sometimes it's best to say, it's okay, I'll let you go, it's okay. And you say it in a loving way within Christians. That, you know, I don't have to win every battle. Because I don't want to lose the war. I don't have to win. I don't have to win every time I have an opinion. Every time my opinion must stand. You know, sometimes, of course, if it's based on the Word of God, it's a different issue. Okay? All right? But even in the Word of God, sometimes the Lord is teaching me as well to be able to see, okay, Lord, how will you deal with that? Because God is the wisest way in dealing with these kind of things. So let's not be wise in our own eyes. Basically, Paul is just telling us to the Roman Christians, guys, just be humble. You don't know everything. Don't be wise in your own conceits. That's pretty, that is actually a strong statement to the proud Roman Christians. I don't think you know everything. Be not wise in your own conceits. As we close, genuine love within the local church is shown when we weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. Genuine love is seen where we seek to think alike. Genuine love in the local church is seen when we seek to think alike. I can dare say all of us have certain things that we stand for, certain things that we believe about. But you know what God wants? God wants to see a bunch of people who are so individualistic finally become a strong team for Him. To put together all the skills and all the talents for God together, that souls may be won into the kingdom of God. You know what I see? I see the world does it better than us. The world does it so well, where they would respect each other so much in their interdisciplines and they work together. And you know what? They actually advance a cause that will help many people. Of course, they are, okay, I need to be mitigating there by saying they are paid. Every one of them are paid. And they want to advance their career, so they are very cooperative because it's part of teamwork. But you know what? They still do a better job. The children of this world is sometimes wiser than the children of light. The Bible says. You know what that means? That means the world does things better than us sometimes. But I believe what Paul is trying to teach the Christian church, you may have your thoughts, but let's learn to work together. Let's learn to think together. Because you know why? When we as a church think together, someone out there is going to see that love and be one to Jesus Christ. Because you know, you go to work. How many of you sometimes go to work? All you see is biting and gossiping and all kinds of things. You know, sometimes within Christian groups, Christian families, we have that too. Satan's very smart. He wants to destroy this. But Paul, I believe, as he teach these things, you know, sometimes people say, but Pastor Johnny, it's so hard. This is the way I have been relating to my family and people like that. I can't change. Yes, you can. By the Spirit of God. By obedience to the Spirit. But you know, I don't want to feel like a hypocrite. Well, then don't go to work sometimes, because sometimes not all of us want to go to work, right? And don't be a hypocrite. No, get this. When you do what is right, you're not being a hypocrite. You're doing the right thing. Does that make sense? Sometimes you don't want to go to work, but you still go, right? Are you a hypocrite? No, you're just fulfilling your duty. You need to be there. Being a hypocrite means I say something, but I don't do it. That's being a hypocrite. I teach something, but I don't do it. That's a hypocrite. A hypocrite really is a person who knows what is right and don't do it, and tell other people you should do it, but they don't do it. That's a hypocrite. But, Brother Johnny, it's very hard to... I don't like this person. So why should I rejoice with him? You know what God says? I didn't ask you to like him. I asked you to rejoice with him when he rejoices. Does it make sense? Sometimes God just says, look, obey me. What you think, what you feel is important, but if it gets in the way of obedience, then you need to put what you think and feel away and start obeying first. Does it make sense? Any questions on that? We need to teach through that very quickly, because there are so many reasons why we won't obey God. But God says, look, just because you don't like the person doesn't mean you cannot weep with that person when he weeps. Just because you don't like the person doesn't mean you cannot rejoice with that person. I'm asking you to rejoice. The more you learn to rejoice with that person, even though you don't like that person, the more you love that person. You see, God's strategy is to do what God says, denying your own self so that you can grow. Okay? God's way of helping us change is to just do what he tells us to do, obey him, and then allow him to change the little things inside here. Example, I'll just give you an example. Say, I think I don't have enough to give. Well, then start giving and trust God with it. There was one particular preacher, shame to us, preacher who was very tempted not to give, you know, and then one very rich man challenged him and said, look, you just learn to give, okay? And he said, I can't give, you know, I got my children to take care of, you know, I'm a poor preacher and all that kind of things. No, this rich man said, tell you what, just give, and every time you give and you don't have enough, you just call me and I'll settle everything for you. It sounds like a good deal, you know, and so this preacher started to tithe and give and whatever that he needs to do to give to God. You know, for the whole year, he didn't have to call the rich man. Because he found the secret, give, and it shall be given unto you. Initially, it was very hard, you know. Can I say this? That's what it means to be obedient to God to do, even though you don't feel like it. Because once you start doing the right thing, and some of us don't like to go jogging. You know, some of us don't like to exercise. Some of us need to exercise, like me. Okay, I need to really get out, and I've tried, you know, and it's really, you know, when it comes to my age, exercise becomes work. It's like another full-time job. Okay, you don't feel like doing it, but you have to. But the more you do, the more you get better at it. That's God's way. You know why? The more you obey God, the more you deny yourself. That is biblically, that is how God wants us to grow, okay? Let us not mind high things. We must be more willing to fellowship with those who are not so well off, rather than just pursuing our own social status. You know, the last point, Let us always be teachable. Let us all always be teachable. I will just say this before I finish. There was one person who asked me, would you like someone who is very skillful or someone who is teachable in your team? Would you like someone who is very teachable or someone who is very skillful in your team? I think it's pretty clear. We would like someone who is very teachable, who is willing to learn new things. Because sometimes when it goes into your department or whatever, you really need a person to cooperate and learn new things. You know, God wants us to be teachable before God first. We need to be teachable to Him. All right? And as God teaches us new things, we will learn to be teachable. And you know, we really can then bind together as a church for the sake of lost souls and for our own individual growth. All right, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that these thoughts will encourage us to think more in terms of your church, in terms of the people that we meet. And Father, help us to rejoice with them that rejoice and weep with them that weep. And Father, I know that sometimes as selfish people, we sometimes even fail to identify or being sensitive to our brethren. Forgive us, Lord, and help us to be more willing and more able as we understand that Paul wants the church to be strong and united. And these are some of the things that we need to do. Help us to learn to think alike. And I believe, Lord, you created us special and we're all individually special to you. But Lord, within the group, you want us to learn to work together. Help us to learn to think the same thoughts and to be open, to be willing to follow. Help us also, Lord, not to be so concerned about social status to the point that we forget their poorer brethren or people that really need our encouragement. Help us to condescend to them. And Father, help us to remove pride from our life, always being teachable. So Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. And I ask, Father, as we close right now, I pray as we take these thoughts, is there someone who needs to make a decision? I pray, Father, that they will learn to love you first and then be able to identify where you want them to change. So Lord, thank you for what you're going to do, even as we depart from this place, as we pray, Father, that we'll practice this in the homes. The Lord will learn to give in and let the other people go first and Father, to condescend and be teachable. Lord, thank you for what you're going to do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.